This is Jim from the Nordys Podcast. Welcome. We're going to be getting into a kick-ass sportscast, but first I want to tell you about American Mortgage Brokers. This is a local company. It's a small company. They have some awesome services. If you just give them a call, they can go through what you're currently paying, what your current situation is, and see if it makes sense for you to do anything. It may not, but if it does, you're going to get some great service, great rates, and low fees because it's a small company without a huge amount of overhead. So you should definitely do this if you've had a house or maybe looking to buy a house. Give Chelsea a call. She can do a mortgage review for you. Her number, 612-271-6574. Give her a call today. NMLS number, 284-286. American Mortgage Brokers is an equal opportunity lender.
You're listening to the Nordys Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys doing?
What are we doing here again? What's this thing called?
Who's this guy?
This is a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, you're sounding like almost everybody that actually literally doesn't know what a podcast is, but you should.
I set up these microphones and we're going to talk about stuff, apparently. That's what we do here.
Well, we're happy to see you. Yeah, it feels good to be back together.
It's good to be back, man. I thought about it every day. I'm like, okay, I got to get better for the podcast. I got to get better for the podcast. And that,
not for your impending child.
Well, that too. Yeah. That was sort of ancillary. That's a nice to have. You know what right. I mean? That's not a requirement.
You're a simple man.
I don't do much with the new baby, so.
Hey, you'll do a lot with your current kid, though.
Yeah, that's
true. You'll do about everything.
You'll be going to Culver's a lot with him.
So. I love it. Well, welcome back.
It's a somber episode, though.
It is.
As we have to pour out a drink for our Minnesota Vikings. The main event of every episode for the last, 22 weeks or so.
Yeah. And it's been a fun ride.
It has been a fun ride. It was a great season.
I hope listeners enjoyed it with us.
Me too.
We had a lot of good Sundays, right?
We had a lot of fun.
They won a lot of 14 great Sundays.
14 times winning, getting a bye, going to the NFC Championship game, and then Minnesota-ing all over us.
Dude, they Minnesota'd all over us. I agree. That hurt.
So before we get into more of that, we have a new beer in front of us, something funky and different. What are we drinking?
Can I pour this one out for the Vikings? No, I'm just kidding. I like it okay. So we're going to Portland for a brewery called Peak Organic Brewing.
And it's such a Portland name for a
brewery. It's such a Portland thing, isn't it? It's like Portlandia.
Does it come with like a fake Argyle sweater that was knitted by a 5th century pretending, I don't know where I'm going with this, but
you're going in the right direction. Well, this one is Sweet Tarts. It's New York Cherry Sour Ale. I think the beer's okay. I don't think it's enthralling. Mostly I just wanted to make fun of all their shtick. And I guess the beer isn't that bad. It was only $10. It's not like you're paying a lot more, but they're really into local sourcing, which I'm good with.
Mm-hmm.
The whole like certified organic, I'm sort of okay with. But when they start getting into like we're non-GMO, I start to get a little bit like, whoa, why? Who cares? Like, you know, don't just be anti-science for no reason. GMOs are fine. It's just Monsanto's a shitty company, but
dude, you just turned off all of our anti-GMO followers.
You know what? Those people be like, get woke. I'm telling them reverse get woke. It's not bad. So anyways, look, they're trying to pander. And I think it's okay. It'll probably work on some people. It actually turns me off when I hear like them trying to pander that hard in that direction, but the beer's fine. It's a tasty beer. You're going to start seeing it around. And it's cool branding. I mean, it's a nice bright red and white can.
Yeah. I love how they're like non-GMO, but we're going to ship it in semi trucks in aluminum cans that we're forcing you to recycle across the country.
Yeah,
if this is really a Portland beer, they would send you like a hand knitting like wool sock and force you to squeeze the beer out of that into your own glass. that would be a real Portland
beer.
They'd have
dudes on bikes traveling cross country to drop it off at your house.
And it would
$85 a can.
And it would be delivered to you in like a some part of like a goat.
Yeah. It would be in the goat.
Yeah, like they like, you know, it's in the parts so we could reuse the parts of this dead animal.
Yeah.
That
it's in the hooves.
Yeah, you can use it. You can use the goat stomach 19 times before we have to get a new one.
Who knew? Before you die from a rare goat disease.
Yes. So
fuck this company. But hey man, we're going to try some more of them. So like, you know, maybe the other ones are good too. This is okay. I don't hate it at all.
Honestly, I would say it's actually pretty good. And the thing is I'm so used to organic meaning more money, right? And in this case, it definitely isn't. It's a
It's a $10 six pack.
So a reasonably priced six pack. And it's kind of the opposite of what you would get for organic at a grocery store or something like that.
They have an evergreen IPA that has like spruce flavor added. And my wife really likes it. So we've been getting those six packs every once in a while. For $10, you can't really beat it.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You can't hate on that.
No.
You can hate on the all the Portland frills that you can attach to the beer.
Yeah.
But I think as long as the beer tastes good and it's reasonably priced, you can't hate on that.
I can't. So we're going to continue enjoying it.
Especially you with the price thing. That's kind
that's, of you know,
98% of it. So.
All right, guys. So now is the time you guys give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can watch us on Facebook. I know quite a few people do that every single week. You can also find us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher.
Overcast,
you name it.
Wherever you get them.
We're probably on there. So, yeah, keep getting the Northeast Podcast directly to your phone or tuning in via Facebook live stream or however you're getting it. Spread the word to everyone and anyone who will listen to you about podcasts. If you're like me, I always suggest podcasts to people and they're always annoyed.
Yeah, they're always annoyed. They don't know what it is. But we're trying to be more than just a podcast. I think we're trying to be like an alternative to you know, the big media, right? Kind of like a Barstool, but not douchey.
Yeah.
Or less douchey.
I don't know. My goal is just to be all these people's friend.
That's it. We just want to be friends with you.
In your home, at your work, in your car, in your bedroom, Barter's while you're taking a shower.
When and how can we monetize this? We've been wasting time.
Go ahead. Speaking of that, like we said, new price this year, free, every episode.
Every episode is free?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
There was nothing coming from you there?
No, I got nothing. They're all. What am I going to do? Say, actually, I talked to our accountant, and
we need to start charging. We're in the red.
All right, so it's time to move on to...
God, it feels good to be back here.
It's great to have you.
You sons of bitches.
Love seeing your emaciated face.
I got to make fun of Jimbo's cheapness. We got to rip on Portland already. This is a great start.
This is a really good start. Perfect start.
I'm going to watch my words.
See, my wife, little does she know, I need this. Like, these are the things I need to get out of my head and say out loud, not necessarily poking fun of you
tinfoil the entire time. Hat Barter.
But man, a lot of these thoughts.
Dude, your crazy conspiracy theories had no place to go.
No place to go. Of course, I mean, my brain was functioning on like saltine crackers, so we weren't really
coming up at with a high fresh pace. And hot.
No. Wasn't anything great. Like, I wonder how soap's made. Like, that's anyway.
All right, guys. It's the starting lineup, and we have to start with the Minnesota Vikings going down with a whimper, 38-7 NFC championship game, resembled the 41 donut game from 2002. I mean, it was really hard to watch. It was painful. The state was so ready for something good to happen. There was so much talk of a team of destiny, and it really just looked like the Eagles practiced all week while we repeatedly watched the highlight of the Minneapolis Miracle and assumed that that's all we had to do, just show up and we'd win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was our worst game of the year, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Harrison Smith.
I mean, barring like the Pittsburgh game, it was
our defense was the worst they've played.
Pittsburgh scored two touchdowns right away, and then everything was tough for them the rest of the way. The Eagles could have scored pretty much every time they had the ball.
They did.
For the entire game. Like. It was painful to watch. Harrison Smith, who just today was given Pro Football Focus's award for best NFL player of 2017.
Even after that? Is that for regular season?
I think it's just for the regular season. Yeah, I mean, all the awards except for Super Bowl MVP are for regular season. But they gave him their best player in the NFL. They thought he was the best football player on earth this year. He had by far his worst game of the season. Anthony Barr. Every single time they threw a pass to a guy he was covering, he missed the tackle. Yeah. Every time. That is actually a stat. For three. Trey Waynes, 5 for 5, 2 touchdowns and a penalty when throwing at him, his worst game of the season. And just nobody really stepped up to the plate. There was no pass rush. We didn't protect Keenum. Keenum didn't play overly well. We didn't have a run game.
We didn't really try to run.
All system failure.
I mean, we tried right away and it didn't work. And then we had no choice but to huck it.
Having Keenum coming back
from 14 down or whatever.
Having Keenum throw 48 times was never part of the game plan.
That's not going to work, really.
No. So, I mean, it was all system failure. It was terrible. Mike Zimmer has come out and said it was on him. And maybe to a degree it is, obviously, as a head coach and your team not being ready or you not making the proper adjustments. He said today that his issue in the playoffs was that they just tried to stick with the things that they had been doing so well all year, the things that had worked every single week all year, and they just couldn't get those things to work. They didn't make the proper adjustments. They stayed in things too long, and it came back to haunt them. So.
Well, they were playing like they were thinking. And yeah, not necessarily. They weren't playing fast. They were trying to make plays as opposed to like just playing the scheme and then letting that stuff sort of take care of itself. But like you said, you know, missed tackles are on the players too, and missed coverages are on the players. And so I think part of it is Zimmer got out schemed like you wouldn't believe. Part of it is that the Eagles' front. I mean, their O-line is way better than people give them credit for. And then the other part of it is that some guys just played like shit. Yeah. And they saved it for the worst time of the year, obviously. But overall, you put those three things together, and it made for a very ugly result for the Vikings.
Yeah, very, very painful. So that leads...
I don't know if it was painful. It was painful in the sense of we lost, right? And you didn't want to see that. But it's not like we lost against a Minneapolis Miracle. That would have been 10 times more painful.
Yeah.
I think...
I honestly was glad it just wasn't all stressful. Like, I didn't even watch the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it just sort of fizzled.
I was just like, okay. I mean, it's over. I knew that it was, and there wasn't, like... It was out of reach, absolutely. More so than, like, well, there's no time left. It's slim. It just wasn't going to happen.
But see, I think the problem with me... The reason I say it's painful is because it brought up so many of the feelings like, not again, this happened to us again, we bought in and we got hurt yet again.
Yeah, but that's assuming that we were the better team in that situation. I think watching that game back, I think we lose that game 9 out of 10 times.
I think we could play the Eagles next week and the week after and they beat us again. I think they're a considerably better team.
Yeah, and I think they're a little bit underrated, especially by the Minnesota media. And especially by other teams too. Like, well, we want to lose on purpose because we want to go to Philadelphia. Turns out you didn't.
Yeah.
But just a week before, Julio Jones had a ball go directly between his two palms that would have won the game and knocked the Eagles out of the playoffs. And that was a 6-seed team that had just lost to the Saints 2 weeks prior to that.
I get all that.
You know, and so I don't think that they were 31 points better. Maybe they were 4 or 5 points better. I think if we played them in the regular season, it would have been a good game. I think the expectation was for a good game. And I think this was worst case scenario, two bad turnovers, one for a touchdown, and Vikings players just not playing the way that they should. And a career game that we'll never, ever, ever see again from Nick Foles. And part of that is our poor play on defense, allowing them to make those plays. But
he was dropping them in there,
but there has to be credit given to him, too. It can't just be, we played terrible, and that's why Nick Foles was great. He showed up and played the game of his life in the biggest moment.
That first deep touchdown pass, he avoided the rush, almost got strip sacked, stepped up, threw an absolute bomb, 61 yards in the air to Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
That's not a rookie lucky move. That was a veteran move.
It was amazing.
He tossed it. Yeah. And they just outplayed us in literally every facet of the game.
And I oftentimes am the person who doesn't want to give an average or below average player credit when they do something great. I always want to say, you know, if our team wouldn't have played so bad, this wouldn't have happened. And so usually I would be the person who said, we even made Nick Foles look good. No, Nick Foles showed up on the biggest stage with the most pressure on him, and he played
like
just
the eye patch guy in Philly. Big Dick Nick stepped the fuck up.
He did, though.
God, I hate those fans so
he
much.
Did he stepped up and he played the game of his life. I mean, that was the, you know, Keenum was talking about dreaming of coming back against Drew Brees at the end of the division championship. No, I think what these guys really dream of is doing it to go to the Super Bowl or in the Super Bowl, and that's what Nick Foles did. And so, you know, I think They humbled us a bit. It was not very much fun. And it kind of is my question to you guys. I think you guys kind of already answered this, but what is worse, heartbreak or humility?
Heartbreak is worse. Yeah. I think if we lose that game on a four-bath miss, you know, in the final 2 minutes, I think that hurts a lot more.
Yeah, I would still be thinking about it, whereas, you know, like I said, by the end of the third quarter, I was done thinking about it, which is nice. Because I was just like, you know, I came to terms with it. The only thing is, I mean, we thought we were going to win. We were favored by Vegas. All the pundits said we were going to win. We all picked us to win.
Yeah.
We go in there, opening drive, you know, we get a big touchdown from Rudolph. It looked like, wow, you know, this is going to go well. And then I think we get a 3-and-out, right?
I had the same feeling.
And then we throw a pick six and everything falls apart. So after that point, it was easy to accept.
It was kind of like... the same feeling as like Hillary Clinton is going to win Virginia. And I was like, oh,
yeah, here we go.
Okay, it should be a fun night. That's exactly where I was at.
Yeah, so I like how you bring that up because now we got Trump and we didn't win a Super Bowl, Eric.
I know.
You had me believing.
I believed it. Ah. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it was, though. I think if you went into that game as an underdog, and especially it would have been much better to lose to a Carson Wentz-led team where you're like, damn, that's just a really great football team, and we had a great year, and we ran into a better team. But I just think what was so difficult about it was everybody in Minnesota, even the ones who were pretending to be pessimistic, believed that something was different with this team and this coaching staff and this year, and it wasn't.
It wasn't, but okay, so people are like, what's up with Minnesota teams, you know? I think it's just honestly take away all the curse stuff. All that is, I think, is bullshit.
It's total bullshit.
I think that it's very rare to win a Super Bowl. Mathematically, you're 1 in 32, and beyond that, it's usually the Patriots. So that your odds are so stacked against you. And guess what? If you don't win the Super Bowl, you're losing, and losing is very, very common, incredibly common. So it's you're always going to do more losing than winning.
Yeah, and if you look at like the AFC quarterback that's represented the AFC in the Super Bowl the last, I think it was some dumb number, like 17 years, it's either been Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, or Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Other than 1 year of Joe Flacco when they won.
Yeah.
But it's really, really, really difficult for other teams that aren't at the top of the food chain to get there and then to stay there and maintain that. And the Vikings aren't there yet. Maybe they were a little bit defensively. I also reconcile the loss a little bit with that we probably overachieved this season in a few games.
Well, even the Saints game, we had lost more or less.
Right.
And it took a miracle to beat the Saints, really.
Literally a miracle.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you look at the Carolina game, the Washington game, the Falcons game, like a lot of those games were very easily losable. The Rams game, I mean, that game was 7-7 going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
I think we overachieved just a little bit more than our record should have been. I think this is probably realistically, like if we replayed it, maybe a 10-win team. But it was still a fun ride. I'm not mad. I'm not like this dejected sports fan that's like ready to give up on football because you run into a brick wall every once in a while. We just happened to save it for the NFC Championship game.
Right.
And it feels like you're digging up all these demons when really every year is sole and separate from one to the next. And one has nothing to do with the other.
I agree. So this is our Viking burial?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's light the boat on fire.
The boat's floating out. Knock the flaming arrow.
I missed again.
Oh. Yeah, what movie is that?
That's Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Edmure Tully.
Yeah.
And then his dad.
Blackfish had to come in and shoot it.
His uncle, yeah.
Like, that's not a deep breath. I liked he didn't even do it, like, he did it in such a dickhead way. Like, give me the damn bow.
Yeah.
God almighty, I tried to let you do this one time, and you missed three freaking times. And then he, like, shoots it and, like, walks away.
And like, it's just like, yeah.
Like Michael Jordan shooting the free throw with his eyes closed or whatever. Just sort of like, okay.
Just turns and, you know, badasses don't look at explosions type
Why
of shit.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was it. So Vikings are done for the year.
Yeah, so just briefly, we'll talk a lot of Vikings offseason, draft talk, free agency, all kinds of things. But just kind of a primer on that. Some moves that they have to make this offseason. Obviously, they have to figure out what they want to do at quarterback with not one, not two, not three, but all four of their quarterbacks free agents at the end of the year.
Who's the fourth guy?
Slaughter's the free agent?
Dude, that's our future.
Yeah. I think he's actually the only signed quarterback going into the season.
I think he is for sure the guy. He's the most likely back. They love him. Not as a starter next year.
I think he's already signed.
Oh.
I think he's under contract for this next year.
Is he good?
They love him.
He's so good that he didn't start a single game.
No, but he has never... He was like a Division II quarterback who... Okay. High ceiling, low floor.
All right.
But no, so when you go through it, Jerick McKinnon is probably one of the big guys. Most likely will be leaving with Dalvin Cook coming back. They can't have three expensive running backs on the roster.
That's too bad. I like Jed, and he was one of the only people that did really anything in this last game.
Yeah, and I would say this about McKinnon. His problem with coming back to the Vikings, and he knows this, is that Dalvin Cook does the things he does, but better.
Yeah.
And so he will be gone. He'll be missed. Hopefully he finds a good situation. Some people are mentioning going with
Shermer
to the Giants, who have kind of an issue at running back. When it comes to wide receiver, Michael Floyd is a free agent this year. He will not be back.
Yeah.
When it comes to the offensive line, Nick Easton is, I think, a restricted free agent, but he most likely will be back, especially coming off of a broken ankle. Hill, the backup tackle, swing tackle, is a free agent. I would assume they will sign him as long as the terms don't get too high.
Okay.
Sharif Floyd will be gone for sure.
All right.
You most likely will lose Brian Robinson and Terrence Newman
to retirement.
Joe Berger, all to retirement. The three of those guys, they were kind of the elder statesmen on the team. And other than that, I think it's just Anthony Harris, the backup safety, who played a decent role throughout the year, is the other guy who they'll probably try to bring back on a small deal. So pretty much the team should be intact. If Tom Johnson doesn't come back, that would be the only starter from this year who...
I heard he's not that good.
He's okay. He's like an okay player.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, everyone else, Hunter, Griffin, Joseph, Barr, Gideon,
Kendricks,
and Mackenzie Alexander, and Rhodes, Waynes, Sendejo, Smith, the whole group is coming back again.
That's good.
Minimum.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Minimum four of the offensive linemen, tight end, obviously back, top two receivers, obviously back, top two running backs pretty much are back. And then that pesky quarterback position is all we have to figure it out.
We have four, but also zero.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Right.
Out of those four
of nothing.
Who do you want? If they were all healthy, which I don't think Sam Bradford is healthy, but I guess if they were healthy, you'd want Sam, right?
If I had my choice of what they would do and I had to choose from guys who are currently on the roster, I would try to do low, high incentive, short-term contracts for both Teddy and Bradford. I would rather do that than spend big bucks on Keenum, who's the same age as Bradford.
It's really hard to make these predictions without seeing where the market falls, right? And it's especially tough for a guy like Bradford, who was, at like 20-something million a season with one good leg, to say, we'll give you a 13. I don't know it's really hard to look at someone who did virtually nothing this season because of, chronic issues, not just, freak accident, knee got banged up.
Very clear path to recovery, no path.
And he's 27, right? But now he's, on the other side of 30 with a knee that they can't even do an MRI on because there's so much scar tissue. I don't know if that's the guy I'd want giving
short-term,
the keys.
One-year
deal. I understand. And then for Keenum, I think you have to evaluate Keenum on who they're going to bring in for a coordinator. If it's someone they're going to promote from within and they're going to use some of the Shermer playbook, if you will, I wouldn't hate bringing Keenum back either. Teddy would have to show me a lot more. He'd be your most financially friendly if you really wanted to go out and get whatever you want to go get with, in free agency, you could. If Teddy and Sloter and then maybe some other journeyman guy would, be your number two or three, however you want it to stack up. So I personally would go, if they're going to promote from within for O coordinator, I would go with Keenum and then probably Teddy as the backup. And then if he doesn't want to, have Sam be the backup. But I don't think any of them I don't think Keenum or Bradford will be that financially friendly for the Vikings, especially Keenum. Bradford may be a little unrealistic.
Keenum
I think
Keenum is going to command somewhere between low end $16 million a year.
Because somebody wants him as a starter somewhere.
High end $20-21 million a year.
The only really on the move available quarterback is Kirk Cousins, right?
I think Breeze is a free agent. Cousins. Yeah.
Breeze is probably going to stay.
Eli Manning, but who cares?
So he's not a free agent, though.
He's not?
No. So here's what we'll say about this. Heard a lot of talk about this nationally and locally. Friend of the pod, Phil Mackey, has been all over this, and that is give that phone call to Drew Brees. And I totally agree. I think Brees will stay with the Saints. I feel confident. That's a good team. It's his home. He's been there for over 10 years. He said he wants to be back there. They'll be able to offer him fair money, but I don't think they can offer him as much money as the Minnesota Vikings can. And we have over $60 million in cap space with a few guys, Hunter, Barr, and Diggs, all in need of new deals. I would still say Drew Brees will give you $25 to $30 million for 1 year. Come win a Super Bowl with us. Do I think he takes it? No. Do I think the percent chance of that happening is any more than 5%? No. But it's worth a shot, and it's a guy I'd be looking to throw money at. If my choice was, and I think this will be controversial because for some reason everyone thinks Kirk Cousins is a star quarterback. If my choice was Cousins or Keenum, I would take Keenum in a second.
Really?
Cousins is going to get like the richest quarterback deal in NFL history, and he's like the 15th best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. He's getting Ryan Tannehill money for Ryan Tannehill talent.
I think he's going to get Joe Flacco money, and he's going to do exactly what Joe Flacco did to a franchise, and that is suffocate their funds, destroy the depth on their team, and end up being a below average quarterback on an average team.
Well, didn't Tannehill get like 4 years, $60 million? That was why I was making the joke of like they signed this guy to this massive deal when he hasn't done anything.
Yeah,
there's a reason. I guess Chainsaw Dan Snyder as an owner is just completely kooky, but there's a reason that they haven't signed him to a long term deal, and they see something and they know something that everybody doesn't, and that's why they keep franchising him, because it's the better option for the team.
Yeah. Until this year.
Right. Whether or not, you know, Snyder is involved in that, the GM knows something. He's not an idiot. So I say Kirk Cousins stay away from me, especially stay financially.
I think a couple of names that I would look after, obviously drafting a quarterback in the first round or beginning of the second round is obviously something that they could do. Wouldn't surprise me at all if that was the way they went, especially if there wasn't a ton of quarterbacks going in the top 10. Another move would be trading for Alex Smith. I know Mike Florio said today that Alex Smith has a ceiling, and that ceiling is lower than winning a Super Bowl.
Okay.
But to me, he's a better version of Keenum.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a better
game manager.
Yeah, he's like what Keenum's ceiling is, in my opinion. And he'd probably be a little older, but also a little bit cheaper than what Keenum is probably going to go for. Another one would be Josh McCown. I know it's not a real sexy name. He's 39 years old, but he threw for a ton of yards for the Jets this year.
Hard no.
Josh
Hard
McCown.
No.
Man, I'll take Case Keenum before I...
Yeah.
Yeah, but would you take Case Keenum at $21 million a year for 4 years, $84 million or something?
I would take Teddy Bridgewater before I would take Josh McCown.
But that might be the veteran you were talking about also bringing in with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he doesn't have to be a starter, but he could compete for a starting job at $8 million. You could have Teddy Bridgewater, Josh McCown, Sloter, and a couple million to spend on a free agent, or you could have Keenum.
I mean, Teddy. There was a time when Teddy Bridgewater was our main guy, and now he's healthy again. So why are we overthinking it? Why wouldn't we just get rid of everybody else? He's back. He's our starting quarterback, and Sloter's our backup.
Well, I'm gonna ask Barter.
Is it too big of a gamble?
I'm gonna ask Barter to take off a piece of clothing and hand it over to me. That's right, Barter. I need that tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil? You need it?
Yeah.
You need.
Okay.
Well,
so
hold
he's
on.
Putting on Barter's tinfoil. Okay, that was really complicated, and I thought it went sexual for a minute. It went sideways, and now. Eric
we have to
is
get
wearing Barter's tinfoil hat.
Significantly larger amount of foil to fit around Eric's head.
So
yeah,
it's like
get the heavy
like
duty. If it's a snapback. Ain't snapping.
It's right now. It's like a tinfoil yarmulke. But here I am, and
tinfoil sombrero.
Shalom. Let's hear it.
So in the recent weeks here, Teddy Bridgewater has been demoted from the second string quarterback to the third string quarterback for the playoffs. Meaning he didn't dress for those games. He wasn't able to go in for active duty in the playoffs because of this. And I think it hurt Teddy's feelings a bit, kind of drew a wedge between Teddy and the Vikings, and probably to a lot of outsiders made it less likely he'll be back next year, mm-hmm. especially with the words he's been saying to the media.
Which is, I don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, pretty much I want to be a starting quarterback somewhere.
Yeah, and oh, so, I definitely see myself as a starter.
So here's tinfoil hat. You see yourself
with the Vikings. I don't know what the future holds. That's what his interviews have been.
So here's the problem. He wants a starter. He is not going to take some junky contract to be a backup for somebody unless he absolutely has to. How can a team offer him $10 million a year, even for 1 year, without seeing him do anything more than throwing one nervous interception in a game and then being demoted by the team that supposedly has the most faith in him? So tinfoil hat Eric believes that the Vikings intentionally destroyed his free agent value because it obviously makes it look like, ugh, we don't like what we're seeing in practice from him, so that they would be the only team who could sign him for anything even resembling starter money next year as a free agent, returning to the team for less money. No one is going to pay this guy big bucks. He has been in the game for 6 plays now mm-hmm. in the past 2 seasons. No one knows what his knee looks like. And it isn't like he's going to go work out for a team before they sign him. So that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And so teams would have to sign him blind to some big money deal. That's not happening. So I think the Vikings did it intentionally to destroy his value and make it easier for them to bring him.
They knew he was going to throw a pick when he came in?
No, I mean when they demoted him here at the end of the season.
Well, but the interception was icing on the cake. And the only chink in your argument, wow, the only kink in your armor of your argument,
okay,
good God, would be if the Giants were remotely interested and they would say, hey, Pat, is he... They demoted him. Is he really sucked that bad? And he's like, nah, they're just trying to really hose his value overall. Mm-hmm. His knee's fine. He played fine. They just were going to go with the veteran Bradford. Had nothing to do with Teddy. It was just a matter of we wanted a couple extra linemen and we wanted another defensive guy, blah, blah, blah. Teddy was the easy one out.
They would have to.
He would be the only one that, would, agree. Shoot, that
but,
would be able to.
But the problem is with that, they would have to get rid of Eli Manning and. He would have to start over the number 2 overall pick, most likely a Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or someone like that.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think that the most likely scenario is Teddy is here on a 1 year heavily incentivized contract for very little money, $6 million, $7 million, something like that.
Well, Zimmer's a big prove it guy.
Yeah.
Say you want to, okay, we didn't think you were up to snuff. You need to show us more.
Yeah.
If you want to show us more, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. But I don't know. Teddy could be a good bridge guy if you want to go. If you want to go the way of the, are we trying to move on?
No, I just meant a bridge. Yeah, bridge.
Oh yeah, wow. I didn't even think about that.
That's where we're going
to get you to, you know, year 2 for your number 1 pick. You know, just sort of to learn the ropes. He wouldn't be a horrible person for that, but maybe that's the Vikings. Maybe that's what you're talking about. Maybe they want him as the bridge guy. To get them to, you know, late first round pick, early second round pick, maybe guy.
So. Absolutely. All right, guys, so let's move on to the Timberwolves. It was just announced today, I believe, the All-Stars. Have you guys heard this
yet? Did they do their draft?
I don't believe they've done the draft, but do you know who made the team from the Wolves?
I do.
Butler?
Butler, okay. For sure.
And Cat?
And Cat. And Cat made it as one of the final...
And they were coaches' picks?
Yeah. Cat made it as one of the final reserves. Some of the guys that he made it over weren't surprising. Chris Paul didn't make it. Guys played like 10 games.
Yeah.
Paul George didn't make it.
That's interesting.
Cat is better than Paul George in everywhere except for in the minds of like teenage boys. Andre Drummond didn't make it.
That's fine.
On the East. And then Lou Williams didn't make it, even though he's scoring like 40 points a game over the last month of the season. But those were the guys who were left off of the list of reserves. Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler join Russell Westbrook, Kevin Love, Al Horford, LaMarcus Aldridge, Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, Damon Lillard, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Kristaps Porzingis as the reserves.
And so now at this point, they've reformatted the All-Star game. So there's a captain from each conference, and obviously we know who those are going to be.
LeBron and Steph.
East has LeBron, West has Steph. They're going to do a private draft. So it's not going to be East versus West. It's going to be, I mean, it will be, but there won't be all East players and all West players. So we'll see which team, they might end up on different teams.
Well, and their first 10 picks have to be from the starter pool, right? So they can't just be like, oh, I want Big Cat to start. No, it doesn't work that way. They got to draft the starters first, and then they got to draft the reserves.
So he can't start.
No.
Even if he was dude, I love Big Cat, or I love Butler, which would be more likely. Okay. Yeah. Interesting, but I get that.
Has to be from the starters, so they'll each choose their starters. Everyone's hoping for a LeBron and Kyrie reunion, or going against each other. It's all fun. Maybe you get a Durant and Westbrook. I can't imagine Westbrook and Durant playing together at this point again, but... Yeah, I mean, it should be fun. It's exciting to have two of our guys, and it has to be that way, as the Wolves have kind of cemented themselves as one of the five best teams in the NBA over the past 6 weeks.
Jeez.
Yeah. Cemented. I think three seed now,
not looking like we're going to relent that to the Spurs, who are in complete disarray.
I'm just kidding.
I'm blowing out of proportion.
I think they're downtrending hard with Kawhi now out indefinitely.
And an aging core.
Yeah, I heard all that stuff, which is so weird for a pop team. I don't know.
I don't necessarily believe it, is that it's like maybe someone...
Maybe someone made
a comment of like, yeah, the team's not real happy with Kawhi. But that doesn't necessarily mean like there's this massive rift between Kawhi and everyone else.
Yeah.
Because he seems like a pretty good dude who like wants to just win basketball games.
He's a pretty chill team player guy, it seems like.
Well, and they're one of the arguments was that Kawhi's upset that they haven't brought in enough talent to support him. And it's like, I don't think you get brought into the Spurs culture with that kind of attitude. And I don't think you last long if that attitude actually pops up.
Dude, what's wrong with you today?
You know what? Like, I've been off for 2 weeks. They're just coming to me, you know?
You got to lean into them.
So I don't think that's the case at all. I don't see that being a part of the culture. And he would be gone, I guess, if he wasn't such a superstar. But he would probably be looking to be shopped if that was his mantra of, I'm demanding more talent. That's just not the way the Spurs do things.
So I think that there's a good chance that the Spurs do not overtake the Wolves at this point through the rest of the season. We're trending up. We're winning even without Butler, who's very temporarily out. He'll probably be back soon. But I think there's a good chance that we still don't get third seed, because even though we've beat the Thunder consistently, they are really meshing and playing super well. I think there's a chance they could jump into that third seed and knock us back into the fourth. What do you guys think? They're coming in hot.
They're currently 3.5 games behind us, which there's a lot to play. We're just past the halfway mark, so obviously there's a ton of games. Anything can happen. Injuries, you know, going cold for a while, someone winning 20 in a row.
We don't play them again, which is helpful for us, but we beat them 3 or 4, which is, we have the tiebreaker, but they're beating up everybody else.
Here's the thing, though. In our last 10 games, we have a better record than they do. So for how red hot everyone's talking about them being, we're 7-3 in the last 10. They're 6-4. I know they were 3-0 last week, had a couple good wins, beat up a disaster of a team in Cleveland.
Holy shit. I watched that thing.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, right now, if I were a betting man, I would be putting my money on the Timberwolves to end up with the number 3 seed.
That's insane.
It's really exciting.
Insane.
We're a year late, guys.
Can we just...
Or you're early, I mean.
Can we start to temper our expectations now?
No way. Just fuck it.
I'm kidding.
But if you get the 3 seed, the expectations was just make the playoffs, please, right? And now, if they end up with a 3 seed, now it's like you got to win a series.
My expectations were top 5 seed, which they look like they're going to have that locked up with 10 games to spare, and either a first-round win or a really competitive series.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it would really suck to lose to
the Pelicans,
or maybe the Jazz jump in there. The Clippers might end up at a 6th seed or something, and we have home court advantage.
If we lost to the Jazz, it won't be the Jazz.
It could be the Nuggets, maybe. You know,
but you were just throwing out teams.
Somebody could end up.
Jazz are not making, they're 9 games under 500.
Okay, so yeah,
they're
that a was disaster. A bad example. I guess maybe the Nuggets and the Jazz, in my mind, are the same team.
It's the 9 seed right now is the Clippers, 8 is the Nuggets, so the Nuggets are in line to play Golden State. Portland at 7, who would play the Rockets, the Pelicans in 6, who would play the Wolves, the Thunder and the Spurs in the first round, which would be really exciting. So
okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you know, the Blazers or something like that, which that could give us trouble, honestly.
And a big thing is how will we do against the Eastern Conference? We've played more conference games than almost any team. We're 24-7 against the West, which is very helpful that we've really handled business. And then we got to go do the same thing when we are out on the East Coast.
Yep.
Everybody but the Suns. Let's just not play the Suns anymore. They give us
or the Mavs for some reason.
This week was a great one for the Wolves. Obviously a great one for Karl-Anthony Towns. But can we take a moment to talk about how Carl Anthony Towns is a bitch and he is no longer the face of the franchise for mocking the Minnesota fans in pain after the Eagles, his Eagles, I don't even think he's from Philadelphia, I believe he's from New Jersey, beat the Vikings badly. He posted a bunch of pictures of Fly Eagles Fly and him in a bunch of Eagles gear. Come on, Carl, you're competing to be the face of Minnesota sports right now. And yeah, that's the effort you're giving us?
No, I take exception with your argument that he 100% stands behind his team, regardless of how he came to root for those teams, regardless of where he's playing professionally as a job. Ooh. That has nothing to do with his loyalty since he's been like to his family, to the team that he's grown up rooting for. Sorry, you're wrong. He can do that. He's not trying to be the face of the Minnesota Vikings. He is playing professional basketball because a ping pong ball happened to statistically fall to the Minnesota Timberwolves. He didn't choose to come play for Minnesota and say, you know what? I can't wait for the Eagles to beat the Vikings in the NFC Championship.
Can't wait Champions. To be cold as shit every season.
Yeah. Well, I think about it like this. Tom Brady grew up in California, played his whole life here in Boston. There is no fucking way that Tom Brady would be wearing Lakers shit after they beat Boston. He would never do that. You know why? Because he's faking it that he's a big Boston Celtics fan every single day because he represents Boston, Massachusetts, and everything that he does.
Then I don't want a sports bigamist on our team.
And here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying.
I don't want some fair weather bullshit. Oh, you know, I don't want to get lamented in the media.
They can't keep it real.
No, I'm trying to give this guy a $200 million contract to be a fucking Minnesotan from now on.
Okay.
Pretty much I'm saying, hey, dude, we're going to make you just insanely rich, richer than you could ever imagine in your life. And you're now a Minnesotan. You might as well get the fucking tattoo.
You better be ice fishing and motherfucking eating lutefisk on your Instagram.
Could you imagine Carl in one of those little little clam tents like trying to ice fish?
His knees are like up to the top. This is bullshit.
And if it's not him, then I'm fine looking elsewhere. It's obviously no one on the Wild. Who could it be? Is it Dalvin Cook? Is it?
If he was better, it'd be Tyus.
We'd love it to be Tyus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously no one on the Twins. I mean, I think right now, fighting for being the face of Minnesota sports is Jimmy Butler and Carl Anthony Towns. And you have Jimmy Butler
could be, that'd be great if he stays with us.
You have Jimmy Butler hopping in a canoe pretending he loves Minnesota in the cold.
You're
right. You have Carl Anthony Towns acting like a bitch who's trying to end up playing for the Sixers. Get out of here, Carl Anthony Towns. Here's what I'm telling you, buddy. We want you to be a Minnesotan.
And then Embiid would be
This is why Eric will never be a GM.
I don't want that to happen.
Because he's so upset about the Vikings that he's blinded
by Carl
Anthony Towns. If Eric
was a GM, we would have to ban him from Instagram.
No,
because you would get worked up as shit over some of this stuff.
If I were a
GM, and this is the same guy that's like, you know what? The NFL only wants Tom Brady's, okay? They want people to stay in line. They hate personality. That's why the NBA is winning, because they let their players express themselves. And then when one of our players expresses themselves in a very un-Tom Brady-like fashion, he loses his shit.
Plus, you don't want a sports bigamist. Like, if he was like, you know what? I grew up as a Philly fan. I love the Eagles, but I'm going to pretend to be a local guy for financial reasons. I don't want that guy.
I don't want him to ever blow the horn at a Vikings game ever again.
He won't.
He has, and he will again. And
he has?
Next big game,
You been there?
And the next time that they need a big star to blow it, or they need someone at a Wild game to yell, let's play hockey, he'll definitely be that guy.
So what?
And so what I'm saying is, you're just a Minnesotan from now on.
Case Keenum said, let's play hockey. He's not a Wild fan.
He was
Kyle Rudolph is from California and played football at Notre Dame, and he said, let's play hockey. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and his best friend is Jason Zucker.
It's appearances.
And that's why I'm asking. I'm not asking him to love any other sport. I'm telling him to act like a Minnesotan and have some tact and be aware of the situation
in
the state.
I was slightly miffed myself. Okay?
I was like, come on, dude. I don't care what team he cheers for. Guys, it's like when I went to a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert one time.
You got to turn Eric down. He's getting really hyped up.
I went to a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert one time, and it just so happened to be on a really bad night to go see a concert. It was game six of the Western Conference Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Lakers beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota to knock them out and go to the NBA championship. Game six. That's Kevin Garnett, Latrell Sprewell, Sam Cassell, Wally Szczerbiak, that whole team. Best team in Timberwolves history. And the Chili Peppers are from Southern California, and they're big Laker fans, and the crowd loved them. They were on fire. It was right after By the Way came out, and everyone was going crazy. It was an amazing show. And then for the encores, they all came out wearing Lakers gear, and the crowd booed them for the rest of the concert, booed them off the stage when they took a bow at the end, and it like kind of ruined the concert.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that.
That's horrible.
Isn't that terrible? So they were
people,
like,
I don't know.
No.
No, yes, it, that is. Come that's on. Fucked up.
I mean,
those people literally paid
a bunch of money to watch you.
And this isn't even a sports player, you know, commenting on sports. This is just like, let's fucking put these on and go fuck with these guys.
Take this shit way too seriously.
That's true.
They are rooting for their own team.
You're just saying, sing a bar for
I
them?
Take, hey,
you
just hey, can't hey,
sing.
Eric, I take
hold on, say, hold on. Would you sing some of that Hotel or California, Californication? Sing some.
No, not after that. I'm done with them.
Okay, otherwise I would.
Taking it too seriously, you were the one saying you don't want a sports bigamist on your team.
Yeah.
That was serious.
Is sports bigamist something you came up with?
No, that's the gentleman who's the writer for The Ringer.
He uses sports bigamist?
It was in one of his.
You
like,
don't have to credit him. Fuck
if
him.
It was in one
I
of
just
his
was hoping we could put it on a t-shirt. I guess not.
If it was in one of his like, it was in one of his like old articles. It was like a shtick of that he did about sports bigamy.
All right, come up
like,
with something original.
Like if you
we'll
if you moved if you moved to another city and your loyalties lied in the previous city, like are you allowed to root for the other team of the city that you moved to?
Okay,
and that was part
that's
of
the
things.
Whole. So this is
and
a,
the answer
this
is no.
Debate as old as time.
So let's have a little debate in a new segment called Offense versus Defense.
Yeah.
Where this is a tough one for us today because no one wins. No one wins this one at all.
No. Yeah. It's a good topic, though. It's topical.
But Barter and I are going to argue which team a Minnesotan should support in the upcoming Super Bowl, and that is if you are to even watch it. Numbers came out this week. Conference championships were down 8% viewers.
8% down?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't even watch the Super Bowl after how bummed out I am.
But we will as Minnesotans because
it's in our stadium.
Because we love like stock footage of
yeah.
the Stone Arch Bridge. Oh, yes. Do you see that? This is National
Bridge. That's our bridge.
I was on that bridge. So we're going to... We're ripping on ourselves, okay? Not just everyone else that's listening because we're all the same. Yeah. We're going to eat it up.
I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be like,
that's the building I work at. Can you see it?
Yeah, I know that guy. That's the second floor of Mall of America. I go there.
Yeah, it's going to be like that. So we'll all watch it. We get it. You don't want to just watch it completely apathetic. You generally pick a side. This is going to be very, very tough to pick a side because it's one of the most hated teams in football, unless you're in New England, and that is the New England Patriots, versus a super douchey fan base of a team that just destroyed our chances to play at home. So Phillies versus New England, and who's taking who?
I'm taking New England.
I'm going to take Philly.
Okay. God, I don't envy either of you. So we're going to start out with Barter. Barter's going to get 30 seconds to present his opening case of why we should all be rooting for the Phillies come Super Bowl Sunday. Go.
Everyone likes the new kid on the block. I mean, the Rams were the proverbial favorite against New England when they won their first Super Bowl. Everyone picked against them. They said no chance. It was one of the highest spreads in NFL history. The Patriots came in and said, we don't care about any of that, and beat them with a last-second field goal. I don't think Nick Foles is the future of the NFL, but Carson Wentz definitely is. So for the Philly, for the Eagles to get put on the map this quickly, I think is a big deal. I also hate the fucking hubris of the know-it-all fucking bullshit, dumbass Patriots fans that jumped on the bandwagon about six fucking years ago.
And wouldn't stop. I'm going to stop you there.
Shut
you're
the fuck
the,
up.
You're done with your first point. You okay. can refute for 10 seconds and then present your second point, Eric.
No one remembers the new kid on the block because the new kid on the block never wins. And so I think you have to stay with what's true, tried, and tested.
Okay,
and
moving on to your point.
So point number one for me is there's no douchier city on earth than Philadelphia. They have the most false bravado. They're fake tough. They live based on a fucking Greasy Bell dated boxing movie with
we're not even gonna get into Stallone, all right?
You're wasting time, boss.
And a sandwich. And this team has never won. They've never won the Super Bowl, and they are just a trash, nasty Alabama of the North, Philadelphia, and I can't cheer for that.
Okay. All right. Refute that.
That has nothing to do with any of the players or the coaches. You're just saying that their fans are idiots. Yeah, a lot of Giants fans are morons, too. That doesn't mean that I don't think that they deserve a chance against fucking Belichick and bullshit Brady. You wouldn't want to shut them up? Come on.
Okay. Well refuted. I shouldn't be saying that yet, but I like that one. Okay, now present your final point. Or wait, this is your second point, okay?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, second point.
I mean,
second
I think... So Eric was like, nobody remembers the new kid. Well, everyone remembers the Patriots' first Super Bowl. Everyone remembers Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl. Everyone remembers all these teams and when they took down the proverbial giant. And nobody loves David and Goliath more than Minnesota fans. And we're always David. And we're always pretending like we are. And there's no reason for us not to sort of band together to root for Philadelphia. Of course, the stuff you saw of like, oh, the Philly fans are all douchey. Yeah, the ones that all of the clips that are going to go viral are the ones that are them throwing beer cans. There are probably lots of fans from Philadelphia that weren't throwing beer cans, that were just having a good time. So I don't think there's any reason, because there are a couple knuckleheads out in Philadelphia who are douches, for us to say they're less douchey than New England fans. Give me a break, Eric.
Okay,
come on.
Done. Refute.
I'm just going to jump right into my argument on this one. I don't even need it to refute it, okay, because my whole point is this. They are the douchiest fans, and they are much worse than other fan bases. How do I know this? Because they have... Because
of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, because they have a jail in their stadium, and they have an on-duty judge so that they can get through so many of the people on a regular Sunday who are charged with a crime at their events.
That is new information.
They had to grease the poles of the city so that people wouldn't climb them in preparation for them acting like total assholes.
Spoiler alert, it didn't work.
They were abusing Vikings fans.
They were
fans.
Literally chanting, fuck the Greece. Like, how stupid do you have to be to make that your chant?
They were abusing Vikings fans. They were using fear tactics, throwing things, fighting people. Multiple people were arrested for punching police horses. This is a horrible, trashy place with the worst type of fans. Fans that called in and abused our radio host, and fans who I don't even want in my city. And I am already plotting ways to... Minnesota Nice, passively aggressively, get them back.
Okay, you can refute that and present your final arguments.
You don't
arguments.
Think any of there's any New Barter. England fans that have done any of that?
There are fans from every group that do that.
That have done that.
But this is like...
But it's highlighted for you because you're angry that you lost. And if you can't, you have to admit that just at least a little bit.
I am angry we lost to a group of Neanderthals like them, and that they
But you just said that every team has those in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are fucking with my format.
Yeah, go on.
You refute and you present your final argument.
He literally just argued against himself, which is perfect.
You did get him on that one.
Final argument is I'm so sick of hearing about how Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the greatest of all time. They may be. They might be. I don't think I could argue against it. But I don't want another notch in on their belt for them. I think for the David story versus Goliath to come true, I think that Doug Peterson's going to have to coach the game of his life. Nick Foles is going to have to play almost better than he did against the Vikings, which is pretty impossible to do. And I love seeing Tom Brady and his wife in the tunnel crying about how he can't do everything. Nothing gives me more joy than to watch the Patriots fans make excuses for their team, mm-hmm. Why they lost to an inferior team, and it's this and that fault, and we shouldn't do this, and then we have to hear about for another year about why they should have won and they got hosed, and it has nothing to do with the fact that they just got beat. Nothing, you cannot tell me that nothing...
He said like twice as much time as me.
You cannot say that anything is more sweet than listening to Patriots fans whine about how they got hosed or they should have won or blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
That's the best feeling in sports.
Go.
I can't refute a lot of the things he says.
That's fine.
I also...
You just have to present your final argument convincingly, because this is
truly,
your last chance to sway me.
I truly hate the Patriots and their fans.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Brady. I hate Belichick. So I'm starting pretty much saying that a lot of my argument is bogus. But...
It's so hard to argue.
No.
Either side is
no,
so tough.
No, I hate both these teams so much. But literally, Philadelphia is the least deserving sports town. They're fake. They're built on just bullying people. They would rather fight than watch a game. They are going to be our direct rivals for multiple years now. As we have a small window to win, they're going to be in that window, and they're going to be battling us every step of the way. So whether we want a rivalry or not, if we're going to continue to be a contender, this is going to be one of our direct rivals. And I don't want to give them a head start by allowing more free agents to head their way after winning their first of maybe many Super Bowls and even bringing back the best young quarterback in the league, Carson Wentz. I... hate to cheer for the Patriots, and I really don't want to. And the only way this game could get worse is if the Packers were in it instead. But there's a reason that people are excited when the Patriots play in games. And that's because even if I don't like super teams, America loves super teams. And they love history. And the Patriots are history. The reason that Tom Brady had a hole in his hand last week, they didn't tell you this. It's because they're getting ready for the 2-week break to install a sixth finger for that sixth Super Bowl ring as he cements himself as the most winning, greatest of all time in the NFL. And Bill Belichick.
Time.
Is the greatest quarterback of all, or coach of all time. And as much as I don't like them, they're a true dynasty, a two-time dynasty in the NFL.
Well fought.
Okay.
Well said.
That was really good, you guys. Pounded out.
I enjoyed it.
I have my decision.
I'm fine losing or winning.
I know. There, that's the thing.
I don't really want to win.
You both have lost and you both have won because, really, it's going to be a very, very tough Super Bowl for us to watch. By a margin of 2 points, 16 points to 18 points. Eric has won. I will be rooting for the Patriots. I can't fucking believe I just said that.
I can't either. I
don't
hate that.
Want Philly to. They're going to all be wearing their stupid dog masks.
Oh.
There's. It's the fans. Oh. It's what the fans, how they handled their. And Eric pointed this out. This is not my own thoughts. I formed this from your argument. How they treated us is despicable.
It was.
And they're going to be in our city. It's going to be gross.
I like competitive fans, and I like fans trying to make someone uncomfortable, but where they went with it was disgusting, and they went way too far, and they were abusing people, and you had people from all over Philadelphia tweeting things like, hey guys, we need to be doing things the right way, you got to let these people leave a stadium. I mean, it was like kind of scary stuff that these people were doing. They were intentionally hurting people, trying to hurt people, trying to scare people, and I can't handle that. So we have friend of the pod, Brett Angel, Bubba, who we always talk about on here. He's volunteering for the Super Bowl. And after the Vikings lost, he said he was thinking about just quitting. But then he decided he couldn't quit because then he couldn't give wrong directions to Philadelphia fans all week.
Oh, that's so Minnesota.
He said,
that's how you get
he
back.
Said in the
Not
best
violent.
He's like, I'm going to be so pleasant and nice to every Eagles fan, and I'm going to send him to the wrong side of the city.
Perfect.
And so to me, it's just like, how can we make their stay a little worse while still being the classier people?
But see, okay. I don't think those fans are the ones that are coming. I don't think the beer-throwing, sucker-punching Philly fans are the ones that are making the trip to Minneapolis.
Yeah,
I think
right.
It's the rich season ticket holders. They're going to be like very polite. So he's going to send these people that are actually like nice people in the wrong direction because some drunk asshole threw a beer can at someone else. That's dumb.
There's repercussions,
yeah.
Carter.
Don't fuck with our city.
Yeah,
don't or we will us. Send you in the wrong direction on the highway.
No, it's going to be in the skyway.
Yeah.
He's just going to say, hey, you're going to this way.
Yeah, when you get to my burger,
yeah.
You're going to want to go down to ground level.
Yeah.
And then just keep going towards the Twin Stadium. And then on the other side of the Twin Stadium, you'll run right into US Bank Stadium. You can't miss it.
Exactly. All right, well, that was really fun. I think that was a successful segment. You guys both absolutely killed it. It was a tough decision. Eric wins this round. We will keep track of these, and we'll do them maybe every week, maybe every other week, and we'll see who comes out on top.
Well,
I know nothing about sports, so I'm the perfect blank slate for you guys to impress.
I think it was the
six-finger
man comment.
No, that was garbage. That didn't know. That actually, you lost a point. You were going to have 19 points.
All right, guys.
But for having a rough week of football, we talked a lot of football.
Yeah.
I know we did.
We're hopeful still. We're still hopeful. We in Zimmer, we trust. In Spielman, I trust.
Yeah.
I guess even in
we should be a better team.
Ziggy Wolf, I trust.
Why not?
All right.
Fucking Wario himself.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give back this tinfoil yarmulke to Barter to cover that bald head of yours.
You stretched it out, dude. It's like over his eyes now. Jesus.
And we'll be back with you guys later this week with our screencast. But thank you for listening to the Nordies podcast. And hopefully we made your tough week post-Viking season just a little bit brighter. We'll be right back.